Katra Podcast Conversations for the curious essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. Hey there, curious minds, and welcome back. We love taking these deep dives, taking sources, and sort of pulling out the big aha moments for you, trying to give you that shortcut to being really informed, maybe with a few surprises along the way. Today, we're embarking on a journey into an epic, one that many of us, you know, we know the basic story, but maybe not the deeper philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking about Devdutt Padhanaik's fantastic book, Jaya, an illustrated retelling of the Mahabharata.
A really brilliant retelling.
Absolutely. And our mission today is, well, is to unpack how Padhanaik rethinks this whole idea of victory, what Jaya actually means in his context.
Right.
And explore its wisdom and why this ancient story is, frankly, incredibly relevant right now.
It really is. And for our deep dive, we're drawing on a couple of comprehensive summaries of Jaya. They give us a really rich look at Padhanaik's interpretations. We'll explore how he shifts the Mahabharata. It's not just good versus evil, is it?
No, not at all.
It becomes this really nuanced look at human nature, our choices, morality, and the complexities of Dharma. That idea of duty and right action.
Okay, so let's unpack that. Before we get into the epic itself, who is Devdutt Padhanaik? I mean, he gets called India's most respected mythologist, but his background, it's fascinating.
Oh, it is.
He's got an MBA, spent 15 years in pharmaceuticals. He's even trained as a physician. That's not your typical storyteller.
Not at all, right. And I think that's precisely what makes him so unique, that blend. He has this analytical, almost evidence-based approach from his background,
yeah.
But he applies it to these ancient stories. It makes the wisdom in them incredibly accessible for a modern audience. He's written, what, over 30 books?
Yeah.
And his work, like, being chief belief officer at Future Group.
Right, I read about that.
Yeah, it shows how he connects this ancient wisdom to today's world, offering frameworks for how we make decisions now. And he does this amazing thing, weaving in hundreds of regional folktales. It's not just one single version of the epic. It's pluralistic, living.
So what makes Jaya specifically so distinctive then? He's not just like retelling the plot points.
No, definitely not. He consciously strips away a lot of the overtly supernatural stuff that you sometimes get in other tellings.
Right.
His focus is much more on the psychological insights, the philosophical questions. He wants us to grapple with the tough stuff, duty, desire, power. He's not giving easy answers. He really pushes you past that black and white thinking, you know, to get a more nuanced feel for Dharma.
Right, to see the gray areas. So if someone finds the original Mahabharata a bit daunting,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
What kind of journey is Padhanaik taking us on in Jaya?
Well, he presents it less as a religious text or a strict historical account and more as this really sophisticated exploration of us, human nature, moral choices. It works whether you know the epic inside out or you're completely new to it. He takes you through the plot, yes, the whole intricate story.
Mm-hmm.
But alongside that, he's offering this running commentary, exploring things like, you know, family dysfunction, which is huge in the Mahabharata.
Oh, yeah.
Power struggles, the search for meaning. So it's both a great story and kind of a philosophical guidebook.
And that title, Jaya, victory, you mentioned it's ironic. What's the core idea he's getting at there?
Yeah, the irony is central. His core insight is that Jaya, true victory, isn't about beating someone else. It's not conquest.
Okay.
It's about expanding your own mind, your consciousness, to understand and accommodate the other, to embrace the sheer multiplicity of human experience. He basically argues the war was a disaster, a profound loss for everyone. Kauravas, Pandavas, everyone.
So the question becomes,
exactly, what is victory if it costs that much?
Sure.
What did anyone truly win? He forces you to confront that cost.
Wow. Okay. That reframing alone is powerful.
Yeah.
Let's dive into some of those pivotal moments Padhanaik highlights. He starts with the genesis of conflict, right? How past actions ripple outward.
Yes.
Like Bhishma's terrible vow. He vows celibacy in service to his father's legacy. How does that end up causing problems down the line?
Well, that's a perfect example. Bhishma's vow, it's an act of immense sacrifice, seems incredibly noble, but his rigid, absolute adherence to it, it traps him later. He feels bound by his word, even when he sees injustice happening, like with Draupadi. He has the power, the wisdom, but his vow paralyzes him into inaction. So Padhanaik uses this to show how even, you know, good intentions, if they become too rigid, can have these devastating unintended effects generations later.
And that inaction, that sort of sets the stage for the, the disastrous game of dice.
It absolutely does.
Where you, this year, feeling bound by his kshatriya dharma, his duty as a warrior to accept a challenge.
Right, the code of the warrior class. Courage, accepting challenges, protecting people.
Yeah, he gambles everything, even Draupadi.
Exactly.
Yeah.
His commitment to that code in that specific flawed situation leads him to bet everything.
And then Draupadi's public humiliation for Kshatriya.
Cruelly horrific moment. And the silence of the elders in the assembly. That's the point of no return. Her quotes about dharma, about justice, they hang in the air unanswered. It signifies this total breakdown. War becomes inevitable after that.
Then they go into exile. 13 years. Yeah. Exile and preparation.
Mm-hmm.
They endure hardship. They learn. You mentioned the Yakshaprashna episode where Yudhishthira's wisdom saves his brothers.
Mm.
What's the significance there for Patanjali?
Ah, yes. That's a really key moment showing Yudhishthira's depth. He answers these incredibly profound philosophical questions from the Yaksha, this nature spirit. It shows his understanding of Dharma isn't just about rules or rituals. It's deeper, more nuanced wisdom. It's intellectual, moral growth gained through suffering, really.
Okay.
But even with that wisdom, it still leads towards the inevitability of war. The peace talks fail. The Pandavas are willing to compromise, right? They just ask for 5 villages.
Just 5. One for each brother. Seems reasonable.
Absolutely. But Duryodhana, driven by his envy, his feeling of being wronged, he famously refuses even a needle point of land without a fight.
Stubbornness fueled by resentment, basically.
Pretty much. Any chance for peace is just shut down.
And Krishna's role in all this, often he's seen as like the divine puppet master pulling the strings. Does Patanjali see it that way?
It's more complex in Patanjali's view. Krishna tries for peace. He acts as this divine diplomat. But when Duryodhana tries to capture him during the negotiations, Krishna reveals his Vishwarupa, his cosmic form, this overwhelming vision of the entire universe within him.
Wow.
But Patanjali suggests this isn't about forcing peace. It's more like showing that the war, the human drama, it's part of a much larger cosmic cycle, human egos, human plans. They're kind of insignificant in that grand scheme.
So it raises questions about free will versus destiny.
Exactly. Krishna guides, he advises, he reveals possibilities. But ultimately, humans make the choices, even choices that lead to annihilation.
Which brings us to Kurukshetra, the Great War. 18 days of just brutal fighting. And Patanjali really emphasizes the moral compromises, even by these supposedly good guys, the Pandavas. Tell us about those undharma acts.
Yeah, this is where Patanjali really challenges the simple good versus evil story. We see Bhishma brought down because Arjuna uses Shikhandi as a shield, essentially. Bhishma won't fight Shikhandi because of a past life connection and lowers his weapons.
A loophole, almost.
Sort of, yeah. Then Drona, their teacher, is tricked. They tell him his son Ashwatthama is dead. Well, technically, an elephant named Ashwatthama died, but they let him believe it's his son.
Oh, that's harsh.
It is. He drops his weapons in grief, and he's killed. Then Karna, a great warrior, but on the other side, he's killed by Arjuna when his chariot wheel is stuck and he's disarmed against the rules of engagement.
Right.
And finally, Duryodhana. Bhima strikes him on the thigh in their final duel, which was explicitly forbidden. All these actions are adharma, unrighteous, committed by the Pandavas to secure victory.
It really makes you pause. If the winners had to break the rules, what kind of victory is it?
Precisely. And the horror doesn't end there, the aftermath.
The Saptika Parva.
Yes. Ashwatthama's revenge. He massacres the sleeping Pandava army, kills Draupadi's sons in their sleep. It's just brutal, absolute vengeance. It completely wipes out any feeling of a clean win. And Gandhari, the Kaurava queen mother, curses Krishna for letting it all happen. The victory feels utterly hollow. Yudhishthira's just crushed by guilt.
A truly devastating outcome.
Right.
So, stepping back from the story, what does Patanjali want us, the listeners, to take away from all this? You mentioned the complexity of Dharma.
Absolutely. That's central. He hammers home that Dharma isn't a simple checklist. It's not universal rules applied blindly.
It depends.
It depends. It's situational, it's personal, it's contextual. He uses that wonderful analogy. What is Dharma for the bee is a terma for the flower.
Oh, okay.
What's right for one person in their role might be wrong for another, or even for the same person in a different situation. It really pushes you to think beyond simple judgments, to develop nuanced moral reasoning.
And then there's that idea, the illusion of control. Krishna teaching Arjuna about detached action in the Bhagavad Gita, which is part of the Mahabharata, that feels very relevant today.
Oh, incredibly relevant. We get so stressed about results, about controlling outcomes.
Yeah.
Krishna's teaching is about focusing on your actions, doing your duty to the best of your ability, but without being attached to the fruits of those actions. Whether you win or lose, succeed or fail, if you internalize that, it's a path toward inner peace, isn't it? Especially in our hyper-competitive, results-obsessed world.
It really is.
And that ties back to Patnaik's redefinition of Jaya. Victory isn't beating the other guy.
Right.
It's expanding your mind to accommodate the other. Growth in understanding, in empathy, not just winning.
He also talks about the subjectivity of truth. He says something like, in the Mahabharata, everyone is right from their point of view, and everyone is also wrong. That's quite a statement.
It is powerful. It suggests conflicts explode when we get locked into our own limited viewpoint, unable to see the validity in the other side's perspective.
So it's about empathy again, trying to see where they're coming from.
Exactly. Appreciating the difficult choices everyone faces. And maybe the most personal insight he offers is, the great war is not fought on the battlefield alone, but in every human heart where desires clash with duties. It reminds us that our biggest struggles are often internal, balancing what we want with what we perhaps should do, our personal needs versus our responsibilities.
So Patnaik really frames this ancient epic as almost like a user's manual for modern life.
Yeah.
How can we actually apply these ideas day to day?
Well, think about personal decisions. That idea of contextual dharma, it gives you a framework for ethical choices when things aren't clear-cut, which is often.
True.
It encourages you to think about your intention, the potential consequences, the specific situation, rather than just applying a rigid rule that's useful everywhere, work, home, and leadership. Krishna's style guiding, advising, acting decisively but without being attached to the outcome, that's a powerful model for leaders.
Yeah, less ego-driven.
Exactly. And we also learn from the failures, right? Bhishma and Drona not speaking out against injustice. That's a huge lesson for, say, corporate culture or just social responsibility, the importance of speaking up.
And conflict resolution, too, it seems. You mentioned Duryodhana refusing the five villages.
A perfect example, that rigidity, that my way or the highway approach, it just escalates things. The epic shows how needing to be right above all else leads to ruin.
Yep. Understanding the other side's perspective.
It's key to de-escalation. And just generally, in our world with so much information, so much moral noise, the Mahabharata, through Patanek's lens, teaches us to be okay with ambiguity.
To embrace complexity.
Yes. Reject those easy black and white answers, but still hold on to your ethical core. It's about navigating the gray areas with integrity.
Okay, so as we wrap up this deep dive into Jaya, what's the one big takeaway for you? What really stands out from Patnaik's interpretation?
For me, I think it's that real wisdom isn't about finding the simple final answers. It's about building the capacity to hold complexity, to live with paradox. The Mahabharata shows life is ambiguous. Maturity, maybe wisdom itself, comes from accepting that, not chasing some false sense of certainty. It really challenges that dualistic us versus them thinking.
That's a great point. And for you, our listener, maybe the lasting thought is this. True victory, Ja, isn't about conquering others. It's about expanding your consciousness, seeing multiple perspectives, embracing possibilities, and remembering that the biggest battles, like Patnaik suggests, they're often fought inside us, that constant juggle between our desires and our duties, our needs, and our responsibilities. It's really a call to see the world, and maybe ourselves, in all its complex, messy, fascinating shades of gray. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.